be a little obscure and hard to find, but Jeremiah. Or you can just listen along. You don't even need to open your Bible if you want me to read to you, and you can listen. Either way is fine. Jeremiah chapter 3 is where I'll be. Verse 11, and is where I'll start. It says, "And the Lord said unto me, the backsliding Israel justified herself more than treacherous Judah." Go and, by the way, Israel's, the God's country is split into two different countries, and both of them are going away from God. One's worse than the other, but they're both bad. The poor God of the universe has to see that. "Go and proclaim these words toward the north, and say, Return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord. And I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Lord, and will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge that iniquity that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to strangers under every green tree, and ye have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you. And I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and will bring you to Zion. And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. And it shall come to pass, when you be multiplied and increased in the land in those days, saith the Lord, they shall say no more, the ark of the covenant of the Lord, neither shall it come to mind, neither shall they remember it, neither shall they visit it, neither shall it that be done any more. At that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all the nations shall be gathered unto it, to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem. Neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart." That's the millennium. Jesus comes back to earth, and on earth he dwells in Jerusalem. And people won't be looking for the Ark of the Covenant because Jesus is on earth. And they can go see him for the 1,000-year reign. Verse 18, "In those days the house of Judah shall walk with the house of Israel, and they shall come together out of the land of the north to the land that I have given them for an inheritance unto your fathers. But I said, How shall I put thee among the children, and give thee a pleasant land, a goodly heritage of the host of nations? And I said, Thou shalt call me my father, and thou shalt not turn away from me. Surely as a wife treacherously departeth from her husband, so have ye dealt treacherously with me, O house of Israel, saith the Lord. A voice was heard upon the high places, weeping and supplication, of the children of Israel, and they have perverted their way, and they have forgotten the Lord their God. Return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the word of God, and I pray that we would see your truth tonight. I pray that we would understand what you have for each one of us tonight. We pray for the Spirit, as we sang earlier. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. And I pray that for me, and I pray that for this room, and I pray that for all of us. Please work in our midst, and please speak to us, Lord, and help us. We need you. Without you, we can do nothing. We ask for you to bless, for you to speak, for you to make your scripture clear, and help us to understand what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to talk about returning to the good place. Returning to the good place. Israel had backslidden. Judah had backslidden. And just the real simple phrase, sliding backward. They'd gone back to their old sins. They'd gone back to idolatry. They'd done the bad things and left the Lord. And God said, return to me. And he gives these invitations very strongly and very clearly. A wonderful invitation for returning to God. Verse 12, God invited them, "Go ye and proclaim these words toward the north, and say, Return, thou backslidden Israel. Say the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever." Sometimes, in our nature, when someone wants to come back and get right with us when they've done something wrong to us, we're going to forgive them, but first we're going to give them the ninth degree there and let them have it. And somebody does something wrong to you, and they come back to apologize and say, "I'm really sorry about this." And they say, we want to say sometimes, "Well, that's nice you're apologizing now after you've already done this and this and this, and I felt this and that." And we kind of, in fact, sometimes we want them to suffer for it and go through hard times for it and realize just what they did. But God's his offering, he's very offended, he's very upset, he's very mad. He says, you've dealt with me like a treacherous wife that abandoned her husband. But then he says, but you know what? And then if you return to me, I'm only going to bless you. It's a very sweet-hearted and kind-hearted. Watch again how he says this, because the rest of the chapter is going to go through and say, if you return, you ought to see how I'm going to bless you if you'll come back to me. Not you dirty, rotten, you should, if you come back to me, I'll let you know how about it. He doesn't do that. He's upset with what they did. And yet he says, return thou backsliding Israel, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you. For I am merciful, saith the Lord, and will not keep anger forever. You know some people who can't let things go? You do something wrong, and they're still bringing it up years later, decades later. That is not what God is. God says, my anger won't last forever, and I'm very merciful. And he says, I will do that, and I will not keep my anger. Only you got to acknowledge your sin, verse 13. That you've transgressed against the Lord, and scattered thy ways into strange. You've done a bunch of immoral things. God says, verse 14, turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I'm married unto you. God says, we're spiritually married. And I will take every one of you to a family, and I'll bring you to Zion. I'll give you pastors. I'm going to bless you. It shall come to pass when you're multiplied and increased in the land, the Lord will be there. I'm going to bless your land. I'm going to bless the house of Judah. Verse 18, I'm going to bring you back together. And your children will be happy, and you'll be safe and secure, and your land is blessed. Everything is good if you return to me. Now, when someone offends us, first of all, our nature, we want them to have a very miserable time. And we're rooting against them. That's just kind of our nature in our natural state. And then, if they're going to come back and talk to us, we want to let them know about it. And God's saying, just come back to me, and I'm really going to bless you. But you got to come back right. And you got to get this dealt with properly. And he says there's real blessings. Verse 22, return ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord your God. I'm going to heal you. I'm going to fix you. And I don't want to, you know, misunderstand this, because God does say very clearly, acknowledge your sin. Deal with the issues. You return to me truly, and I will bless you and heal you and fix you and just put my hand upon you, and it'll be great. But he does multiple times say, acknowledge what you did. And I don't want to say the right kind of apology and the right kind of helping somebody is not them coming to you and saying, okay, be nice to me again. It's them coming back and saying, I did this and it was wrong. One of the things that's very fascinating when someone says, I want to apologize to you, is to say, for what? And then you sometimes find out if they really apologize to you. Because sometimes somebody went out and they did whatever. They got mad at you and they cussed you out. And they come back and say, I want to apologize to you. And you say, for what? You know. The Bible says if we confess our sins, and there's a really important acknowledgement. If you really want to get something right, you admit what you did. And so if you want to help a person get right, because a lot of people kind of insecurely come to you and say, I'm sorry. And you'll say, for what? And they'll say, well, I don't want to talk about it. You're going to find that person doing that over and over again. It's not dealt with. And sometimes a wise person seems a little bit mean when they ask for clarification. What'd you do? Well, you know. Well, why don't you tell me? See, that's what your problem is. And then you find out they're not really apologizing. They just want you to be nice, and they feel bad about what they did, but they don't really want to fix it sometimes. I want to apologize because I cussed you out. That's good. You shouldn't have cussed me out, huh? Well, you shouldn't have done this, and I wouldn't have cussed you out. I want you to know they're not sorry. And they're not really apologizing. I am 100% accountable for my actions. If you come up and kick me in the shins and I cuss you out, I cussed you out because I could not control myself. I did not cuss you out because you kicked me in the shins. It's 100% my fault. And you'll find yourself a victim to everything in life as long as you always have someone to blame when you do wrong. If you kick me in the shins, I will not cuss you out. I will punch you, but I will not cuss you out. But no, I will not, if I'm right with God and love Jesus enough, I will not cuss you out. It's my, and if you walk up and kick me in the shins and I cuss you out, it is my responsibility to walk up to you and say, I'm so sorry for cussing you out. What if they don't admit they kicked you in the shin? I fix me. If they want to fix them, they can fix them. I need to get myself right, and I shouldn't have said that. We live in a generation of victimhood that does wrong things and then blames it on mommy, daddy, brother, sister, aunt, uncle, girlfriend, boyfriend, child. Everybody's got, well, I wouldn't have done it if. You could have not done it if you wanted to bad enough. And if my landlord went and done this, I wouldn't have destroyed the apartment. You know the stuff I hear, the stuff you hear sometimes. Well, my mom deserved that because she didn't do this when I was young. No, you chose to do it because you weren't kind and nice and forgiving and loving like God is. And so God says, acknowledge what you've done. And he also says very clearly, he says, you've kind of half-hearted repented sometimes before. Verse 13, only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God. And verse 10, and yet for all our treacherous sister, Judah hath not turned unto me with her whole heart, but feignedly. Feignedly is in a fake manner, false. If you know anything about boxing, you feint to punch somebody, and you're faking. And they said, okay, we're sorry, God. But they weren't really sorry, and they wanted to continue in sin. You've seen this before. The person says, I'm just got to stop doing this. And you know they don't really mean they're going to stop doing it. They just need to put on the show. But they're really going to go back to their old thing. But God says, if you'll do this right, you'll do it with your whole heart. And if you'll admit what you did wrong and acknowledge you sinned against God, I have so much mercy and blessing for you. God had a wonderful offer of returning to them. See, what happened is their backsliding was getting to them, and they weren't happy in their backsliding. Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 19. Thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backsliding shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord God of hosts. It says your own backsliding is going to reprove you. Your own wickedness is going to correct you. I want to say this. And I'm talking tonight to Christians. I'm talking about backsliding. Backsliding itself is going to convict you. You're going to find that your backsliding itself is going to correct you. And you're going to find it comes up and you're going to miss God's closeness. And you're not going to like the fruit of what you do. And so it says your own backsliding. And he's saying, now return to me, guys. Just come back to me. You've got to come away. You got to realize your way. Now come back to me. Remember, when you're away from the Lord, it is only as long as you want to stay there. I want you to get that. If here's right with God, and you backslid and backslid and backslid and backslid and backslid and done bad things and got away from God, whether it's quickly or slowly, and we'll talk about that, and you're way back here away from God, understand being back here can happen whenever you want it to. 100% forgiveness. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let me tell you really, really good news that is really a blessing and encouragement when you understand it. In this process of doing this, this is the drifting away from God, but parallel to this is a whole bunch of problems that go along with that. You ruin relationships. You mess up your life. You pick up some bad habits again. You get full of bitterness and anger. You ruin your finances. You blow your money. You get some people mad at you. And you do a whole bunch of things wrong. This thing on earth, the results of backsliding, they don't instantly get fixed. You go out and backslide and do a bunch of wrong things. You might not get the people to forgive you quickly. You might not get your finances back on track quickly. You might not be able to get rid of the bad habits you picked up coming back here. How many people have I seen get free from addiction and then go back to it? And man, is that road tough the second time. It was tough enough the first time. Why do you want to go through that again? Are you nuts? These things here might take a while to get back over to here where you have all the blessings. You backslide and you mess up your marriage and your family falls apart. That can be fixed, but you're not going to go from here to there in 15 seconds. But the problem is we think that this is our results on earth, but back here is our relationship with God that really caused all this. This here can be fixed at any second you want to fix it. And you will instantly be 100% right with God. That's hard for our mind to comprehend. But God is so merciful. Here's a stack of sin, and you fall down your face before God and hit an altar and say, "Oh God, I'm so wicked. I'm sorry. I sinned against you. I chose to do these things, and I'm so wrong. And I'm sorry, God. I confess it's sin, and please forgive me." Whew. Though your sins be as scarlet, they're as white as snow. You're 100% right with God as if you were an 8-year-old kid who just got saved and loves Jesus and is weeping. You're as right with God as your highest spiritual moment. Your sins are washed away. God is not saying, "All right, but you were dirty." God's not doing that. He says, "Sins are gone. All right, you're totally pure in my sight." We don't have the ability to understand that sometimes, so we stay thinking about, well, you know, I'm still not really right with God because I went and did all this and look at all these problems. Yes, the problems are there, but you're totally right with God. You might not be enjoying the benefit of that, but in God's sight, God's saying, "Why aren't you happy you're totally forgiven? Why aren't you enjoying being right with me? You're 100% right with me. I've forgiven everything. Everything's 100% right. And why aren't you enjoying that? Why aren't you excited about that? Why don't you have that joy?" See, you can return to God anytime you want to return to God. And sometimes the propensity of our increase of all this sin, and we made such a big pile of mess of our sin and our lives and our foolishness, or the length of time that we did it, or when God kept speaking to us, we kept ignoring him. We think God is like us, and God's going to say, "Oh, you can just come back to me at any time and confess your sin, and you're right with me. Yeah, I got something to say." That's what you would do to yourself, but that's not what God would do to you. God says if you confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So do you want to be right with God tonight? You can be 100% right with God tonight if you want. 100% right with God. You only have to stay away from God as long as you want to. Any moment, God's mercies are new every morning. Any moment, you can be 100% right with God. You can be right with God before I finish this sermon. You just talk to God about it. You can come down to the altar and talk to God about it. You can be 100% right with God at any moment. You can be as right with God as your spiritual highlight of your life, the mountaintop of yourself spiritually. You can be as right with God because God will forgive all your sin. I'm not saying everything on earth is fixed. I'm not saying everything's easy. I'm not saying you're not going to have burdens because when you backslide, bad things happen. But God will forgive you. And you can be right with God right now. It's only as God's there to want you to return, you only stay away from him as long as you want to stay away from him. When the prodigal ran away from the father, as soon as he went back to his father's arms were open. It just depends on when he wanted to come back. That's it. God's merciful and he wants to do that. Next, you must first decide where you are isn't where you want to stay. You must first of all decide where you are is not where you want to stay. And this is where I'm going to turn to some obscure passages. And I'm going to turn to Haggai in chapter 1. I'm going to say a phrase a couple times here that I want to hit. Verse 5. "Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat and have not enough. Ye drink and are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put in a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring wood into my house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Ye looked for much. Listen to this phrase here. Ye looked for much, and it came to little. That's what you'll find in backsliding. You looked for much, and it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts, because of mine house is in waste, and ye run every man to his own house. Consider your ways. God says, hey, guys, you understand you keep on trying to collect money, and I poke holes in the bags. You keep on trying to build your house. You keep on trying to do your things, and you don't get anywhere. You work very hard to try to get somewhere, and you spin your wheels. And you can keep on trying to get everything right, but I'm just going to say, consider your ways. You've worked for much and looked for much, but you come back with very little. And God says, consider your ways. Do you want this anymore? As I've gotten a little older and a little wiser, I'm learning more and more. Do you know what? If someone doesn't want to get right with God, they don't want to get right with God. And if they're happy wallowing with the pigs in the pig's mire, then you know what? I can't talk them out of it. They will talk foolishly. What are you doing with the pigs? I like pigs' food. Got a problem with it? Okay. And somebody wants to live without God, it's empty and it's a lot of work. And you come up empty, but until they're ready to get out of it, I've way too many times tried to grab somebody and say, let me pull you out of this, and they pulled back. And you know what? If I drag them out, as soon as I let go of their hand, do you know where they're going? They're jumping back in the slop. And God says, consider your ways. Do you really want to stay here? And sometimes God is, with these people, he wasn't destroying the nation in Haggai. All he was doing is frustrating their life and making them. And he just says, consider your ways. You realize you're working really hard and you're frustrated. And I want to say that God sometimes, in his mercy, doesn't destroy us and punish us severely. He just makes us spin our wheels. Spin our wheels. And not get anywhere. We were driving one time from Chicago to here and back. And I had an old car, and I drove it over to Kalispell, Montana, and I picked up a few guys there, and we hopped in. Well, what car are we going to take? And the guy said, how many miles your car got? I said, it's got about 250,000. He says, let's take mine. So we hopped in his Dodge Caravan, drove it out to Chicago. On the way back, the transmission went out. And the transmission went out in the very border of eastern Montana, and it got stuck in first gear. Have you ever been in eastern Montana? It goes forever with no variety. It is a huge state, and we had to drive all the way across the state, and we were in first gear. Whee! And you could see, anybody ever been to Big Sky Country? Anybody know what Big Sky Country is? You ever see the Big Sky? You can see forever. And here, thousands of miles away, is a tree. Whee! Driving kind of on the shoulder there, cars flying around. The speed limit is 1,000,000 miles per hour there. Cows walk by us, pass us, weather chewing, you know, just look at us. We're going forever. And we sat there, and I said, I don't know if I can take this. I can see, if there was a hill, and I couldn't sit with a hill, and there was a little variety here, but I can just see forever, and we're never getting to forever. I told the guy, I said, let me drive it. And he says, listen, you can't do anything I can't do. I said, I have a way with cars. I can't take this. Let me drive it. No, we're just going to keep on going. And we kept on going for hour after hour. Whee! Snails passing us, just pulling along for hours and hours. And finally, we get to a gas station. I was so frustrated. We had so many more hours to get nowhere and just drive through eastern Montana. I get in the driver's seat. They all go in, get a pop, go to the bathroom, fill the tank. We drive out. I put that thing in one, And I start driving down the road. I am praying, Lord, give me another gear, at least second gear. Start driving along, and I put it in second. I just keep on going, wee, and all of a sudden, slam! I got a second gear. It slammed into second gear. I said, hallelujah. We're trying drive. Put it in drive. Just whine. I'm revving that thing 5-6 grand, hoping all of a sudden, slam, slams into drive. I mean, I got 3 gears. I can go 50, maybe 55. Fellas, should I try overdrive? Oh, we're sweating it out. I put it in overdrive, speed up to about 65, 70. You can just feel a transmission just all wrong. All of a sudden, slam, we get overdrive. Whew, 75. So, fellas, we ain't stopping for nothing. I'm not taking a chance. If you have to go to the bathroom, sorry. There's depends or something. We're not stopping for anything. Because I don't want to sit here and not get anywhere and go crazy forever. Life backsliding is not getting anywhere. Consider your ways. You work for much, you bring in little. You look for much, it came to little. You've done this. You have sown much and bring in little. You put it in a bag and I poke a hole in it. That's what God does to bring you back to Him. You got to not want to be in a backsliding condition because it's empty and it's unsatisfying and there's no joy with the Lord. Next, the Lord can use you again if you're backsliding. God can use you again. The devil will tell you you can never be used by God, but God doesn't say that. Psalms 51 in verse 7, it says, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which I was broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Can I tell you, when you get away from God and you get backsliding, the devil will sit there and just tell you in your ear, God can never use you again. You've blown it too many times. You're too messed up. You've failed. You've ruined your testimony. You're no good. You're worthless. God can't use you again. Can I just tell you, God never says that. He says the opposite. And David had committed murder and adultery, and he says, and lied, and gotten a guy drunk, and did a bunch of things. And he said, God, if you'll purge me, I shall be clean. And then he asked, God, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Remember when you first got saved, when you're excited you're going to heaven? You had joy of salvation. You're excited about serving God. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. He says, God, give you strength, verse 12. Uphold me with thy free spirit. God will give you power to win souls. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. God will give you a new song to sing and praise to him. O Lord, open my lips and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. God puts a song in your heart. See, when you get right with God, again, everything is good, and you can sing, and you can be happy, and God can use you, and God can bless you and forgive you, because God is merciful. And if your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as wool. If they're red like crimson, they shall be as white as snow. God says, I can wash away your sin and make it pure and clean, and your record 100% right. The Lord can use you again. If you've messed up, you think, oh, I've ruined everything. If you're still breathing, you're wrong. If you're still breathing, God can still use you. If you're still breathing, God has a plan for you, and he can forgive you and do great things with you. God can use you again. There's two ways of backsliding. There's the ways of backsliding like the prodigal son did. It is, I'm over here, and I'm going to leave the Father, and I'm going to go over here and just do a bunch of wrong things. There's a willful leaving the will of God and sinning. And that happens. But I want to say that's not probably what most of us do. There is the Haggai we read backsliding. You know what they did? They came in, they had a revival, God worked their nation, they started building God's house, and then they just, as they didn't, they kind of started building their own house and their own life and their own plans, and they didn't get back to building God's house, and they just kind of drifted. Then God said, hey, you know what? Remember my house? Well, I know, but I got to build my house, and they took care of their, put ceilings in their houses and built these things, and God's house began to rot away. And they just slowly, just by omission of taking care of their own thing and doing their own thing, they just slowly drifted over here. And pretty soon what you're saying is, I remember when I was really spiritual and on fire for God. Well, if that's true, then you've slid backward. Because now we're more mature. Now we've learned a lot. Now we've grown in Christ. And we should be over here. But if we do it gradually, we usually don't. We love the Lord, and so we don't want to fight against Him. We're not choosing to go do bad things. We just drift gradually away from God and slowly aren't where we used to be. Now, when I was a new convert, God gave me grace and gave me a whole bunch of bubbly, excited, happy feelings about being saved and new thoughts. And boy, the joy of my salvation was just there right in front of me, and I had all this happiness. I want to say, I've been serving God 25 years. Most of those feelings aren't with me anymore because I don't need them. But now I have knowledge and wisdom that I wish I had back then to keep me strong and stable and right with God. Now I have scripture knowledge. Then I didn't know what I was doing, and God decided to say, let me just make you feel good about it, and then eventually you'll get wisdom that'll keep you through it. Now I realize feelings go up and down and up and down, and sometimes new converts need to get that wisdom from the scripture very quick. But I want to say, you always need to be excited about your salvation. You always need to be right with God. You always need to be, Lord, everything, search me and know me. Is everything right between you and me? We gradually drift away from God. And understand, if you drifted here, or if you drifted here, if you're way over here, any second you want to go to God and say, I'm sorry, God, you can be way back over here. And the biggest thing is, you won't stay here very long if you don't believe in God, God's mercy that He forgave you. If you don't believe God forgave you 100%, you'll feel kind of dirty and say, well, I'm already dirty. It doesn't matter if I'm a little more dirty. But you are as pure as a newborn babe when you confess your sin to God. And He wants you to come back, and He invites you to come back, and He promises a ton of blessings, and He promises His hand to be upon you, and He promises His mercy, and He says, please return to me. I'll do all these things. Go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, return thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you. For I am merciful, and I will not keep my anger forever. Return ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backsliding. God right now wants you to just come to Him and say, I'm sorry. There's no reason to not be right with God tonight. You must be honest. You must admit you've done wrong. You must humble yourself. And that may mean taking a trip down to the altar and spending a minute with God. It might mean you say, God, I am no longer going to make excuses for what I'm doing. I'm not right. I'm not going to make any more excuses anymore. And when you do that, God says, return, and I'll be merciful, and I'll bless you. And you'll find God will begin to help you and rebuild things and take the mess and fix it and make it beautiful again. You've got a merciful God, but you have to acknowledge it and not turn back to God faintedly, but with your whole heart. Tonight, do you feel like you've slid back some? The truth is, you can return to a good place. God has a wonderful place. A couple of passages and I'm done. Psalms. The wonderful places, Psalm 116, and there's one in Jeremiah if you haven't left there yet. Just, it's a wonderful place, the place of returning to God. You'll find a wonderful place there. Psalm 116, verse 7, return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. And then Jeremiah, back where we were, chapter 6, return to thy rest. See, sometimes you don't remember at first how good it was when you're close to God, and then all of a sudden you just remember, boy, that sure was a wonderful place. Jeremiah 6 and verse 16, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, wherein is a good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. I want to say this. The place of right with God is wonderful and peaceful and happy. And though you might not be in a position where God is judging you and fiercely dashing your life to pieces, sometimes He's just frustrating your life. It's a wonderful place with a merciful God. And tonight you can be as right with God as you want to be. He's merciful. He just wants you to come and confess it and admit it wholeheartedly and come to him. And that is in your court. I can't do that for you. God can't do it for you. You have to come to God and say, I acknowledge this. I don't want to stay here. Lord, I want to be close to you again. And then he can really use you still. Let's pray. Father, I pray tonight that we would all be right with you. I pray our backslidings, whether minimal or small as we see them, or large and a life of totally forsaking you, would be dealt with and fixed. I pray we'd realize just how deep your mercy goes and how deep your forgiveness goes. And if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And Lord, I pray that we'd get frustrated with being away from you and say, I can't take it anymore. I got to be close to my Lord again. I got to be close to God. This is a frustrating life. Please, Lord, help all of us, whether it's outward and willful, leaving the Father as a prodigal did, or whether it's the gradual drifting away they did in Haggai with just taking care of the things. I pray tonight that we would all return to you and realize that you will abundantly pardon and you can use us and do great things. Please, Lord, help all of us tonight to heal our backslidings. In Jesus' name, our heads are bowed, our eyes are